Max Keith, welcome back to the podcast.
Ciao, friend. Thanks for having me again.
How are you
It's
doing,
always
man?
a it's all good. It's always a pleasure being able to chat with you. So, yeah. Enjoying my South American summer, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I just put on a jumper because I was cold, so quite different scenario here.
Yeah, no, we are in the middle of a heat wave, so it's quite the opposite down here
Yeah.
at the moment. Yeah. That's how it goes.
Cool. Well, we're here again to talk about some of our favorite things. Talking about training, of course. Something that we never fully understand or figure out. So it's good to keep talking and sharing experiences and science and questions and ideas. And today's topic is how to monitor your training, what data and metrics you should pay attention to. And I think this is a very interesting topic because we often think a lot about planning your training, planning an athlete's training, but not that much attention goes into monitoring what an athlete has already done, what has worked, what has not in the past. So I think this is an exercise that is very useful to do, both for a coach and an athlete, to really understand if the training is giving the adaptations that the athlete or the coach is looking for. So I would like to start from here. In your experience, when you're training for a goal, what are the metrics that you pay attention to in your daily training? And also, like, when you're maybe reflecting or evaluating a training block, what are some of the data that you look at to assess whether that training block was good or not? And I think here it's important to set the difference between, variables like pace, duration or distance, elevation relative to the single session, and then the metrics that track the overall development and trends over training.
Yeah, I agree. I think nowadays, year 2024, we have so many things in terms of wearables or even our own like GPS watch, like any Garmin, Coros, Suunto, whatever, like all of them have all of this deep layer of data that they can provide you, right? And I mean, we can discuss if those are accurate or not, but regardless of that, I think now most of us are kind of with too much data around. Basically, what I'm
Yeah.
saying is like, if you, for example, if you are one of those guys that likes to sleep with your watch, right? You probably wake up and you have again a summary of how your sleep went, your HRV depending on the type of watch, and then I think the watch that I'm currently using even gives me like blood oxygen, right? So I think what I'm trying to say is like, I think now more than ever, it's way easier to get into like these rabbit holes of like, okay, I have what data should I be paying attention to, right? So I think, first of all, you really need to be careful, right, with what are the maybe, KPIs that you are paying attention, because if you get too deep into this stuff, you will be, obsessed with trying to hit certain numbers, certain goals, or like being in between those ranges that nowadays some wearables provide you, right? It can be anything from stress score to again recovery, and then VO2 max in Garmin, which is always kind of controversial, right? And then like those stats like that always kind of tell you're under 0.1% of people, fitness wise in the world. So I think on a personal note, whenever I'm training for something very specific, I do pay attention to some stuff, but I also make a conscious effort to not get super caught up into all of the data that that I can have nowadays, basically at my watch or on an app or whatever else that you may be using. So everybody's different, right? I know that some people is like very into data or like very geek, so they want to have almost like a personal dashboard with everything. And then on the other hand, you have people that is a little bit more laid back and they just want to have maybe some essentials, and then they will go a lot of the time by feel.
Yeah.
I think in my particular case, right, of course, it always depends on the goal, right? So for some races, I will pay more attention to, for example, time and distance, right? If it is like an ultra, then again, if it is more like a mountain type of, you know, race, it's usually more about like elevation gain and time spent on feet. So I think those two things are always, you know, very important, but also depends a lot of the type of goal that you have and also how far are you from that same goal, right? And then when it goes to like the day-to-day stuff, to be honest, I think I like to follow some sort of structure within my weeks, right? And meaning, you know, I know that most of my training is done at an easy effort, right? And sometimes I will wear heart rate and I will take a look. A lot of the time I don't, and I will just go by RPE. And I think those two things, when they talk together, I think, and when you have enough experience about yourself and knowing, you know, how your body reacts, right? It makes those two things combine really well and basically for tracking your effort, right? And then again, you know, of course, you then tend to do some intensity depending on the race. So for that, you may be trying to hit a specific vertical gain for that session or a specific distance if you are doing like intervals, right? So then again, it always depends on the kind of program that you are following and also the ultimate goal that you are doing. But then again, most of the time, like 80 plus percent of the runs that I do, you know, on a weekly basis or even cross training, it's just like going out and logging time and just like it's I think now it's like very trendy to talk about like some chew, right? Or basically like developing your aerobic engine and all of that. And I think naturally I've always been doing that because also, and I think I have said in this podcast before, even though I like to be efficient with training and all of that, ultimately one of the things that I enjoy the most is the process of like being out there training. So for me, you know, it's not so much about the pure data. It's more about just like having fun while I'm training for something. And of course, some sessions are more fun than others, right? And I wish that I could have, you know, 5 to 6 hours to just go out and do like a long run, you know, every couple of days, but that's not reality, right? So you have to make some efforts, conscious efforts to like just make the most out of the time that you have. And for that, you know, having modern watch that can provide you with data and reliable data, you know, and then things like, I don't know, whatever, however you want to keep that log, right? You can use a Strava or something else, or even like an actual journal with like pen and paper, right? I think it's great just for you to be aware of like, how are you feeling, right? Just to be conscious of like, okay, I'm not just seeing numbers in the screen. I'm putting into words how I am actually feeling, for example, after a session.
Yeah, very true. You already touched several important things that I wanted to talk about in today's episodes. And one is, of course, that we are overwhelmed by technology. Like, we have access to all kind of data. But I think the question now should become, is this data meaningful for what we're looking for? Like, is that actually telling us something about how we're training and the adaptation we are looking for and how our body is responding? Like, is it relevant to what we're doing? Because like sometimes I think we tend to pay attention to those numbers just for the sake of them, you know, just, you know, your HRV should be within a certain range just because you want it. Like you want it to be in that range, not because, you know, today you go out and do a workout and feel good or bad, or just, you know, decide to take an easy day or to take a rest day. We want our HRV to be in that range just because we need to please the technology. And that happens with all kinds of data. And that is a danger that with technology, we often go through. So that is something that I was thinking as you mentioned, you know, technology and data. On the other hand, it's pretty evident that some other types of data are actually meaningful, are actually telling us something about training, and they are important to pay attention to. So it's not always easy to find this balance, and I think it goes along with like how our season is structured, because of course there are times of the year where it's good to disconnect from the numbers and metrics and just run for fun, just train for the sake of it, just go out and run free without even wearing your watch. You know, are we actually able to go out and not upload the session on Strava? Are we actually able to do that anymore? I don't know, because sometimes it seems it's not. So
if it's not on Strava, it doesn't happen.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, it's good to be data driven sometimes. It's good to pay attention to the numbers, but then we need to integrate all this information, understand it, and as I was saying, integrate it with what our body is telling us, because I think it would be unrealistic to think that we can track and have everything under control with technology. Our bodies are just so complex, and the interaction with our body, with the environment, with stress, with our people, with just everything that we do on a daily basis, I think it's impossible to fully capture that with any kind of technology. So that is one of the number one things when it comes to training. And training is actually how your body is responding to the stimulus. This is something that we often stress. So yeah, besides the numbers, it's how you feel, how you're feeling as a consequence of a training session, of whatever you go through in your daily life that matters, and that you can only feel if you learn to listen to yourself, basically.
Totally. I am very much on board with that idea. And I think also, like, to be honest, nowadays, with things like social media, you know, you tend to like always, like, you know about that stuff, you're like maybe running and you're already thinking, what's the title gonna be for that Strava activity that you're not even finished, right? So
yeah.
I mean it's all fun, right? I mean, as long as you keep it fun and this is not like stressing you out, right? And you kind of take with a pinch of salt, you know, all of this also too, whenever you're like, you know, posting training on Instagram and all of that, right? So all of the time we see people training or posting their, you know, best sessions, right? But normally, you know, it's not like you have a good session every day. You don't feel great every day, right? It's not like every day you're breaking PRs or like doing something spectacular, right? So I think being conscious of that and being able to like put it into words again, and I know, yeah, and probably nowadays it feels very old fashioned to just like use pen and paper to track your feelings after a workout. I know that some people do, right? There are some journals out there. I try to keep a certain log sometimes, and it's not super up to date, but I do try to do that on a yearly basis.
Very, very
and then,
useful. Yeah.
Again, it's Strava. I mean, you can also use it like that. I don't think a lot of people use it like that in the way that, you know, maybe people is not so willing to be open about, you know, if they're struggling with a session, right? And then again, if you have a coach too, right? Like what we do with our office members, like we are always pushing them to actually tell them how they felt, right? Because it's quote unquote, it's easy to just mark a button that says, okay, you failed, I don't know, a 6 out of 10, for example, or, you know, whatever on Strava or things like that. But then again, if you put into words, talk with your coach and mention, like, maybe you start realizing even from the exercise of thinking what you just did, right? It makes you understand, oh, maybe I wasn't, you know, as recovered as I thought, you know?
Yeah.
And then again, all of those stuff always happen with this like period of reflection after an activity, right? And again, it's not something that you have to do for every single session, right? It's not like you go for a 45-minute easy run and you have to like think about or like overanalyze it, right? But then again, I don't know.
Just do
there
it.
are some, yeah, there are some key sessions, right? And it not even have to be on a weekly basis, but maybe a couple of sessions, you know, on a monthly basis that you really need to be like in tune and just, you know, kind of understanding what went well, one maybe didn't went well, right? And what are the things that you should be looking forward to improve for the next one, especially if you are working towards this very specific goal, right?
Yeah. I think the simple exercise of just writing down how it felt what worked, what didn't work, how the session went is very meaningful, is very important, can actually teach you something about training and how you respond to training.
I agree. I think that's one of the things that most people struggle with, especially me. I think maybe if you are kind of new to the sport, you are not really used to like putting your reflections into words, right? Because this is something that it may feel
you're also
exciting and
not so in tune with yourself. It's like, you know, sometimes I talk to my therapist and she asks me how you're feeling, like, what do you feel? It's so hard to put into words our feelings, like to use the right words to describe that feeling. And it's a little bit the same for training. Of course, I'm an experienced athlete. After 25 years of running, I feel like I can understand myself pretty well. But I understand it's not that simple of an exercise to do for some people. So
yeah, I agree. And getting back to your point of like the data and just like the incredible amount of data that we have nowadays, I just have like two comments that I think are kind of very practical, right, in a way. And first of all, is one, like on my watch, normally, you can set up the fields that you want to have in your watch, right? So for me, normally, to be honest, it's always just time. That's the first, the first screen. Usually it's like total time and then like lap time, because I really like to use the lap bottom usually for like measuring sections and stuff like that. But I never have like pace or not even distance. Of course, I can go there if I like do a couple of clicks and go to a couple of screens later, right? But normally I'm never seeing, especially in a normal run, right? I'm just going out there clicking a star, and then whenever I'm back home, I'm just click stop and that's it. Maybe I will go back later and check, on Strava or even in the app of the watch itself, like some stats if I need to. But like for like, I don't know, 6 out of 10 sessions during the week, like I rarely ever like pay attention to those stuff. And lastly, too, speaking of that thing, but also related to one of the main things that we, tend to struggle with when people is starting to run in trails, right? It's about this idea that they have to hit a certain distance, right, for a specific sessions, specifically too for long runs, right? And a lot of people, especially when they come from the background of like running marathons, they come with this mentality of like, okay, I need to be hitting 20 miles, this Saturday or whatever. And I know that, if your mind works like that, it makes it easier. But then with time, you start realizing that if you are too obsessed with hitting that, you will be probably be running at a too high effort just to hit that, because you are obsessed with that metric, right? But eventually you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing in training, because you're just obsessed with hitting that specific metric again, right? So it's not about, hitting a certain amount of distance or even a certain amount of vert yet, right? If you're obsessed with vertical gain. And maybe you go through phases, right? At the beginning, you may be like extra, worry about hitting numbers. But then again, with time, you realize that if you're able to stay consistent week after week, month after month, year after year, right? All of that start becoming a little bit less meaningful, because you start trusting in yourself, and you know that it's not about a single session, it's not about hearing a specific number, it's just about like going out there, doing the work, and then coming back the next day and doing it again.
So important. I wanted to actually get more in detail about monitoring training, and of course there is this eternal debate between volume and intensity, how we can, keep both variables up. Like, on one hand, when volume goes up, intensity should decrease. On the other hand, building more volume means that we're able to also handle more training, so more intensity. So there is always this balance. And of course, these different athletes respond differently to the same stimulus. So I think one of the very useful, important exercises is to actually go back in your you know, training log or even on Strava or like your GPS portal and look at how you responded, how you felt, how you performed after a training block where, for example, you focused on volume or you did a certain types of workouts, certain, you know, long runs or in intensity sessions, and try to understand if that worked for you or not. Like if you actually got the benefits that you were looking for and that you expected. Also regarding the time versus distance debate, I think we tend to stand on the duration side because it's, as you start running on trails, it becomes evident that it's a more relevant variables to track our training. So at Vert, we've always done everything pretty much time-based. And this also reflects the importance of building an aerobic base. Like, you have to consider that everything beyond basically a 3-minute effort is primarily aerobic. So the goal is to have an aerobic engine that is as efficient as possible. And in order to do that, you have to spend a long time on your feet at easy intensity. So it doesn't really matter the distance, but how much time you're spending at low intensity. Also, I think duration is somewhat more relevant than distance intra running because we're often cross training either with a bike or with the skis. So in order to keep the same metric as those other activities, it's just better to use time instead of distance. And yeah, this is basically what I think. But for me personally, as I've made the switch from kilometers to duration to track my training, I feel like I've become a better athlete, not just in terms of like balancing workouts and volume and intensity and such, but also like feeling less fatigued, also being less injury prone, because I was not like, yeah, looking to hit certain numbers that were maybe not the right ones for me in a certain situation.
Totally. And then again, everybody's different, right? So that's why like following some sort of a structured guideline training program and then having also someone that you can rely on as coach, it's really helpful for like, especially if you struggle with this, right? Especially if you're one of those people like type A, that they are like kind of pretty focused into like narrow vision into achieving something, right? Sometimes you need to hear that, yeah, it's not all about, again, the data and the numbers, even though, again, it's also just as a note, it's not that we're saying that data is bad, right? It's just like you need to make sure that you're making the most out of it, but not making data like ruling your training, right? Because yeah, again,
exactly,
training, it's not a straightforward path. It's not like going from point A to B in a straight line. It's usually, you know, 2 steps forward, 1 step backward, sometimes 2 steps backwards, 1 step forward. So then again, things are not linear, and there isn't like a recipe that works for everybody, right? That's why this is like scientific, right? And there are, again, many data points that are really relevant when it comes to training and, you know, also tracking your recovery, which maybe something that we haven't really talked yet, but at the same time, it's really a key metric, right? Within your training programs. But then again, being able to know what you follow and paying attention to that stuff, but without getting caught up into only that when it comes to basically measuring your progress in terms of training.
Yeah. Yeah, again, for me, what's made the difference really in over the past few years was to just focus more on volume in terms of duration instead of distance. Like I was almost obsessed with hitting, you know, 100 miles weeks all the time. So I was maybe sometimes running too much, but now I don't care if I finish a week with 120, 150, 180 kilometers. I usually try to you know, my training volume is usually up around 20 hours a week. And that includes cross training, includes strength training, running,
yeah.
and everything. I know that's usually a manageable training load for me, which of course I've reached over the years. It's not like, you know, when I was 20,
go
I was
from
training with this kind of volume. It took me years to build up to this threshold. But you know, I'm feeling pretty good with that where I'm at. And yeah, I think, you know, we often set standards for ourselves, but we, like, the question we should ask ourselves is whether those standards are relevant or are actually helping us achieve what we want, and not like trapping us in a situation that is maybe not the best, maybe not the most beneficial for where we're at. And also understand that not every situation is the same. Like, maybe you repeat a workout, you want to repeat the same training block that you successfully completed a year ago, but you are a different person. Like, it doesn't always work the same way. You may respond differently to the same stimulus. So that is also something very important to consider. That is not to say that, you know, reflecting on those numbers or doing something like the repetition of the same session, I think it's useful. It's actually good to have, you know, a certain climb that you go to do a test, or like a loop in your neighborhood that is measured, that you go to do your tempo runs, and you can compare different workouts on the same loop and track your progress. That is actually useful. But you also have to understand that every situation is unique. You evolve. You go through so much beyond training that it's just impossible not to, like, to think that you always respond the same way, that you are, yeah, the same person, that that's not impacting your training. It's a process. And it may be a cliche, but it's so true. Like, you can't just isolate one variable and, you know, take volume or intensity measured with, you know, heart rate or whatever, and say, okay, this is how you should train. It's like the whole process that matters, and that is actually determining how you're training.
I fully agree. I have a quick question for you, Fran. Like, is there any specific data that you are consistently following on a weekly basis, whatever that can be?
Yeah, for sure. My training volume in terms of hours, as I mentioned, this is actually the most relevant variable that I'm tracking, and yeah, pretty much always looking at. I've also seen how my total training time year after year has been growing, and I think that is another relevant metric that you could start tracking, not because it always needs to grow, you know, but just, you know, compare different years and understand, depending on your goals and your life situation, how each season went. I think that could be another useful exercise. I know some people put a lot of emphasis on elevation. Personally, it's something that I don't track, or that I don't find as relevant as other variables. It's a little bit the same as distance. You know, some people may run, you know, 2,000 meters of elevation a year, which is like 6,000 feet of vert. I do much less, but that doesn't make me, you know, less competitive runner on the climbs, for example. it's just one variable among many others. And yeah, we're primarily trail and mountain athletes. But I think, and it's also in our philosophy, that there are many ways to get to the same result. And you have to understand what works for you. So for some runners, it may be good to run, you know, a lot of elevation, to include a bunch of elevation in your weekly training, to do uphill threshold sessions instead of flat threshold sessions, uphill tempo runs instead of flat tempo runs. I think in the end, these are just small nuances in the way your training is set up. But the body is pretty much getting the same stimulus. So again, it's just a variable among many others. And again, this is to say, find what works for you and stick to it, and also be willing to reconsider your choices and always like study, experiment, look around, because as your training progresses, you're also evolving. So the two things need to go hand to hand.
And do you tend to, how do you measure effort? Like, do you go effort, I mean, RPE wise, or like you use a heart rate monitor or something?
Yeah, good question. So I've been using a heart rate monitor pretty often.
The new arm one or the chest one?
No, the chest one, I find it more reliable, and I actually don't have the one that I wear on the arm. But yeah, I find it useful to combine that data, the heart rate, with RPE, so basically how I'm feeling. And I know that, you know, if I'm going out for an easy run or a tempo run or a threshold session, I'm just checking the heart rate to confirm that I'm actually running at the perceived effort that I'm looking for. So it's not like the heart rate is guiding me in a certain at a certain intensity or at a certain range of heart rate zones. I'm just integrating that data with what my body is already feeling. So this is how I use it. And I don't wear a heart rate strap all the time, because just because I forget it sometimes, just because if I go out for an easy run, I don't need to wear my heart rate monitor. But for, you know, maybe athletes that are not so experienced, it could be useful to wear it and to look at the reports after a session, after a week, a month, a training block, and see like how's your intensity, like how are your training zones distributed, for example. If you're roughly following the 80-20 rule, meaning that around 80% of your training should be basically under the first threshold, like easy or very easy, under zone two. There are many ways to say it. And roughly 20% should be zone three or above, which means, you know, tempo, threshold, and VO2 max, basically. If you're hitting those numbers, your intensity should be pretty much right. And of course, these are not meant to be set percentage, just like heart rate zones, you know, is an imperfect system to try to capture the intensity of our training. And we should always keep that in mind. But it's useful to roughly understand how you're responding to training.
Yeah, I agree. To your point too, I think for people who may be studying, I think it can be a very useful tool, especially if you don't have also experience doing other sports, right? And you're kind of just learning how to read effort, right? And how your body reacts at a certain effort, right? So I think in those cases, it's even more useful. Just as a note, though, make sure that you probably have to wear a chest strap, right, or one of the new ones from the arm, because normally, if you just go with the sensor that is using on the wrist, right, that's usually not very accurate, right?
Yeah,
and there are
I
many.
I think the technology is mature enough to actually.
I think it's yeah to be super
meaningful.
accurate, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's about that, and also the place that the wrist is not just the best place to read that data. So just if you are going to be using that data, just be aware that it may not be super accurate. And also, if you are new to the sport, there may be a chance that your zones are still not very established, right? So also, every time that you're seeing, you know, the numbers in your watch, ask yourself, right? It's if your watch say that you're going at an ECF or like someone, so you ask yourself, does this feel easy, right? Because if not, you know, if you're struggling breathing, right, and your watch says that you're going easy, that's probably, you know, means that the numbers are not accurately set in your watch. And the same goes on the other end, right? So if your heart is saying that you're in like zone 4, zone 5, but you're feeling pretty chill, right, it may be that also that's not accurate. So again, a useful tool, but always make sure that you are kind of asking yourself the question, right? So how is this effort feeling, right? How is this pace feeling? How am I feeling going up at this giving intensity, right? So again, it's trial and error, but making sure that you are constantly being conscious about, you know, how you're doing, it's very, very useful.
Yeah, also understand that, for example, heart rate is an imperfect metric because it's subject to daily fluctuations. So probably the ideal metric to track would be lactate, but of course we cannot monitor lactate in real time. Maybe it's coming. I don't know. Maybe
yeah,
it's a
it's
technology
coming.
That
it's
will come in 2024.
But
I don't think it's even worth buying, you know, a lactate machine to measure lactate every time you do a threshold workout, for example. Not even at my level.
It's expensive too.
Yeah, it's quite expensive, but if you learn to listen to yourself, you're probably not too far off the effort that you're looking for. And for, again, for people who may be new to the sport, you're probably often going too hard than too slow.
Yeah.
So learn to slow down, because running is hard. And it's an aerobic sport. Ultra running is an aerobic sport, so we need to be spending a lot of time at easy intensity, and there is no substitute for that. Like, it's not that a threshold session or like a more intense session can replace the long easy hours that produce those metabolic adaptations that, you know, improve our mitochondrial mass, that allow our muscle fiber to build endurance, to be more durable, to develop aerobic endurance.
Yeah, totally. This is just to say that, for example, too, if you are someone who is looking into starting trail running, right, as you don't need any fancy equipment, basically. You can literally, you know, get just a watch with a timer, and you can just set the chrono and go out, you know, and put yourself the goal of like being out there for half an hour, right? And you don't need to track distance, like elevation gain or whatever else. And then eventually, right, you will just become more curious, I guess, right? About, you know, maybe knowing some stuff, right? So maybe then is when you can invest into getting a fancy watch or whatever. But nowadays, I think, you know, there are plenty of options out there for just tracking data, like meaning at least distance, you know, and elevation gain. So I'm just trying to say that it's not like you need to have A, B, or C to start doing the sport. So don't
Oh yeah,
Don't
for sure.
think that, you know, or also too, in the example of like you're already running and you wanna improve your performance, right? Don't think that you need any fancy equipment or go to a lab to get tests, right? To just improve, right? I mean, those things could potentially help for sure, as having a coach also makes a huge difference. But then ultimately, it's a lot about what you're saying, putting in the work, making sure that you're not running too hard all the time, and just like putting in the hours, right? And for that, there is no yet any equipment or technology that will kind of help you making a shortcut here and there, right? So you need to just put in the time.
Luckily, yeah. Sometimes I wish we could just go back to, the old system without GPS, without Strava, without all the fancy technology, but it is what it is.
You may be too young, but when I started running, I didn't have a GPS watch until like, I don't
Yeah,
know,
of
4 or 5
course.
years into it.
So
And
did I.
I remember I was just going out with, you know, one of those Timex, like old Ironman Timex things. And
Yeah.
I was just like, again, using the lag bottom. And then eventually I started getting more curious. I remember I started using those first like Google Map things that where you can actually like kind of make the route that you were planning to run on. And then you eventually knew, oh, okay, so the route that I'm usually doing,
Yeah, I
it's,
was
you know.
using Google Map pedometer to like build my routes. Or actually, I would go out for a run, then use Google Map pedometer to actually find out how far I went and how fast I was running. So yeah, funny.
I'm still a big fan of Google Earth. I know that may be old-fashioned now, but sometimes I just go in, and even when I'm looking for like finding some new adventures or like new potential routes, I'm scouting in Google Earth, you know, things that
Yeah.
could be fun to do. So yeah, th there you go. Like things like technology for sure helps, especially about like when you are talking about trails and ultras, right? That is not so easy to measure as the roads. But then again, it's not like you don't need all of that
Yeah. We're gonna record a
to do.
podcast about, how to plan routes and how to use, all the technologies and tools that, even just for example, going to a new place and understanding where are the trails, like what are the best routes that
Yeah.
you can go to. It's not immediately clear to someone who may be new to the sport, so I think it's
Yeah.
worth talking about it, but for next time. Final question that I wanted to ask you, how do you track recovery? Like, are there any relevant metrics that you pay attention to? We mentioned HRV. Of course, sleep is another relevant metric that you may want to track in terms of just sleeping time. I don't think the different sleep phases that your GPS watch may give you are actually that relevant, that accurate. And there was a recent article that was basically saying, yeah, that those numbers are not very accurate. Personally, I track the HRV. Also, like just to have a sort of diary or log where I keep, how I feel when I wake up and what was my resting heart rate and my HRV. And I try to combine that information with how I'm feeling. It's like I don't let the HRV dictate whether, today I'm doing a hard session or an easy session or taking a rest day. First, I listen to myself. Then I also have the HRV data that backs up how I'm feeling, and then I make the decision. But I do also track my sleep and, try to make sure that I get at least 7 or 8 hours of sleep per night. It's very important.
Yeah, I agree. And the overall concept that I think I also do like to track stuff. I mean, I go through periods though, I have to say. Like, to be
Yeah.
honest, like I'm not tracking, for example, HRV the 365 days of the year. Normally it's whenever I'm training for something that I consider, you know, to be like the A objective of the year, right? Which is usually like a period of like 3 months, right? So whenever I'm on that mindset, I will be tracking that with an app too. And I think nowadays I'm curious to see, because I just got this new watch, and it's providing me with that data. I'm gonna be contrasting it with the other app that I use. Do you think it's the same that you are using?
Yeah.
So I've been having kind of on and off pictures of HRV from a long time ago, actually, like, because Daniel actually was the first person who mentioned this to me. I don't know, like 6 years ago, I think, when they were just creating that app. So yeah, I think that's like a very, I guess, reliable data, especially if you are consistent with it with a certain time frame, right? So of course it's not useful if you're just tracking it 2 times a week, right?
Yeah.
Because you just want to have the full picture from that training block. So if you're going to do it, you have to, I guess, commit to be consistent.
Yeah, you have to
with
be
it.
Consistent.
And eventually, if you realize like that is not for you, or this is just like an extra hassle that you don't feel like doing it, that's okay. You don't have to do it. You're not forced to do it. But then again, if you decide to go this route, you do have to be consistent. You do have to do it at the same time, ideally every day, with the same type of measurement, right? Meaning, I don't know, if we're talking about the app, you know, you can do it with your finger at the, at
yeah,
the camera of the phone, right? Or if not, you can use the chest strap and all of that. And to be honest, like, I've been also very curious to just from a geek perspective, right? Just to get one of those Whoop or like Auras, just like to see, you know, what it is. Because to be honest, nowadays, after again 10 plus years of running, I'm really confident into listening to my body. And I think like 5 years ago, you know, I was way more into like, okay, if my HRV was off, you know, I was maybe like putting off the session for the day. Nowadays, first of all, with time commitments and every day, I normally like set up my week to do a specific session because that's the only day of the week that I can do it. So regardless if my HRV is good or bad, I will just go out and do it. And maybe if I know that I had a poor night's sleep, my HRV was not good, right? I'll just be easy with myself, right? I will try to make the work, but I'm okay if I'm not hitting, you know, whatever I was supposed to be hitting. So again, that's always important, right?
Very important.
But then also, as I was saying, coming back to this idea of all these wearables, right, that we have nowadays, I would be very curious just to see the data. Because again, even though if the numbers are off, I'm okay with the numbers being off, because again, I'm okay. I'm very in tune with basically, you know, how my body feels when I'm recovering well, right? So it's, I wouldn't be caught up into those numbers. So I will be confident enough to be wearing a Whoop, to be wearing a ring, and just seeing the data is a nice way to see if these things really work, right? But then again, if not, I would just consider it to be like an experiment, right?
Exactly.
And to that point, and lastly, I think eventually with time, right? So I will say a very particular example, and I know if this applies to everybody, right? But I have noticed that whenever I'm in, like in a training block, you know, I've been training a lot. I know that I've been, you know, putting some hard time, like quality, then like the quality and the volume is there, right? But whenever I get to this point that I'm feeling very, very tired, but I go to bed and it takes time to just fall asleep, that's when that's like a red flag for me, meaning that my body's so tired, but at the same time, I'm having trouble sleeping. That's when I may be like overdoing it and I need to like dial back a little bit. So that's more like a way of myself feeling like, oh, okay, like my body's telling me, you know, that I need to chill, and I don't need to see a number to understand that. It's just like me laying in bed feeling very tired but not being able to fall asleep, you know, within a reasonable time. So again, everybody may be different, right? I know that some people may struggle with other stuff nowadays, you know, whenever we're also having issues with our work and stress, right? It's not always about training, right? It's about whatever is going on with our life. So we also have to make sure that the context that we are, you know, reading all of this data is, you know, basically aligned with whatever else may be happening, right? Not just training.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for that. Very much agree. And yeah, the only caveat to this is that it takes probably years of experience to be able to get to that level of sensitivity.
Some people may be smart though. I mean, for me, it has taken a long time, but that's maybe because I'm just like a fool, right? I mean, maybe people is wiser with just 2 years of experience. I think for me, it just took many years of trial and error, and hopefully it doesn't have to be like that for everybody. But yeah.
Yeah.
But of course, the more you do something, the more confident you feel. And it's, again, it's about that thing about putting in the time. And eventually, you know, after certain threshold, you just start realizing that there are some things that are more important than others.
Yep. Awesome. Thanks for the convo, and see you for the next Coach Lab.
Yeah, always a pleasure, friend. Thanks for having me.